Food Safety, The Facts. Podcast Series 3, Episode 1. Food Safety Culture and How It Helps to Deliver a Positive Product Safety and Quality Management System. I'm here with John Husband, a director at Tutrain, one of the UK's leading food manufacturing-focused training providers. John has assisted many companies with the implementation of quality management systems and understands for a quality management system to be successful, then it is essential to create a positive food safety culture within the company's employees. John is also a BRC-approved principal trainer who has a diverse background with over 30 years' experience in helping many companies in industry. John was one of the first BRC, now BRCGS, approved training providers. In 2010, he became a principal BRCGS training provider. Knowing John, his knowledge and experience in food safety management systems, I know we have the right person to talk about food safety culture. John, I've got some questions for you. When did you become a BRC training partner?
The answer to that, Roy, is a long time ago. It was actually in 2002. And if I remember rightly, the BRC standard at that time was issue 2. And as we know, it is now issue 9. And when I first became a training partner, the guy who took me through the training was somebody called John Oakley, a lovely man, very knowledgeable, and he was an ex-M&S technologist. And I'd just like to say, if you're listening, John, thank you.
I know you've already published a podcast series on culture, so why this particular podcast series now?
As you know, Roy, the standard changed in February 2023, and there is much more emphasis placed on culture. So I just thought it would be really good to re-record a podcast on culture and reinforce the new requirements that BRC are looking for in Issue 9.
So what's the difference between food safety management systems and food safety cultures?
The way I like to explain this is by building a brick wall. So if you imagine we take the first brick and on the front of it we can write cleaning schedules and we put that down. We take the next brick and we write pest control and we put that down. We take the next brick and we write vulnerability assessment and we put that down. And we slowly build ourselves a wall that covers all of the requirements of a food safety quality management system. The problem is, if I then stand behind that wall and put two hands on it and push it, it's going to fall over because there is no cement between the blocks. So what we need to do is we need to put the cement between the blocks, which for me is the food safety culture, and it is the values and beliefs within the organisation. And what I'd like to also say is that we need to remember that every company has a food safety culture. What the BRCGS standard requires is that you understand whether or not that culture is positive or negative. And once we understand that and where we are on the scale, we can then start to improve food safety culture within the organisation.
Thanks, John. I am sure our listeners understand that, but could you be a bit more specific and explain exactly what is culture?
For me, Roy, the best way to explain culture is by splitting it into two areas. The first is what defines food safety culture, and the second is what demonstrates food safety culture. So we can start off and look at what defines food safety culture. Well, there are two things, really. The first one is values, and values are really important because values is what your company and you value or think is important. But taking it one stage further, we can then look at values because they are also how you are judged by your company and work colleagues, and also how you judge others. I'm going to give you an example of a value and how it might impact on a work environment. So the example I'm going to give you is a positive work ethic. So the company have documented within their policy and procedures a positive work ethic. And you as an employee may have a positive work ethic, but you may also have a group of work colleagues who have a negative work ethic. And an example of that is where they are lazy and only undertake jobs that are easy to do. In this situation, their behaviour towards you may be aggressive, intimidating, and bullying because you do not align with their values. We can now see how individuals or groups can influence others in the workplace. It is therefore important we have a company employee who support the company values. And I would take it one stage further, that those values are clearly documented within procedures and are trained out on a regular basis. The next item that defines food safety cultures are beliefs. And these are ideas that people hold to be true and your rights, even if irrational. And quite often, these are developed from life experiences and work experiences. Now that we've covered what defines food safety culture, we can now look at what demonstrates food safety culture. And the first one, without any doubt, is people's attitudes. And attitudes is how you express your values and beliefs through verbal and written communication and body language. The second one, which I think is probably one of the most important ones, and certainly it's an area that BRCGS are focusing in on, is people's behaviours. And people's behaviours is basically how you act. And it's important that companies define and document its values and expected behaviours within its policies and procedures.
So John, the bit I'm still unclear about, you haven't mentioned it yet, is where does a company mission statement fit into culture?
Good question, Roy. A company mission statement sits above the values, beliefs and attitudes and behaviours. And usually it is a simple, brief description that encompasses the purpose of a company, defining its culture, goals and values.
So can you provide me an example of a typical mission statement then, please?
Well, Roy, I didn't think you were going to ask me that. That certainly puts me on the spot, doesn't it? So let me just have a quick think. How can I give you an example of a mission statement? So if we take a company, and let's just call that company Company A. You've got to remember, I'm thinking out loud at this point. But a mission statement could be Company A is committed to manufacturing food that is fit for human consumption and meets all regulatory and customer requirements. And then underneath that mission statement, you would then clearly define what the company's values and behaviours are.
So am I right in thinking that Issue 9 of the BRCGS standard puts more emphasis on changing behaviours?
Yes, Roy, that's right. And it's probably one of the main areas that BRCGS are now emphasising. And if you go to your standard, or you go to the BRCGS food standard, and you go to clause 1.12, then one of the bullet points clearly states that you need to understand the behaviours within your organisation so you can maintain and improve food safety culture. What I'd like to do is I'd like to just give you an example of behaviour and how that might impact on your food safety quality management system. To put that into context, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an example. Let's just say, as an organisation, you have undertaken a food safety culture survey. And when you've reviewed the results of those surveys, one of the areas that is highlighted is the fact that employees or operatives do not get enough time to actually clean down in between different production runs. So what we could do is we could look at that and identify the behaviour, and we could say that the behaviour revolves around the supervisor. And what I mean by that is that the supervisor is being pressurised to meet production targets. He's behind on his targets. So when it comes to cleaning in between different production runs, instead of giving operatives 30 minutes, he only gives them 20 minutes. So what the standard requires is that we then need to sit down and explain to the supervisor that those behaviours are unacceptable. We then need to decide on an action plan going forward on how we may improve on that. And then we should also detail some form of review to make sure that we are achieving what we want to achieve. However, we need to be careful. It's very easy in this situation to blame the supervisor, when in reality there may be a number of other things that could be causing the issue. And the type of things I'm thinking of are where we've got a crowded production schedule, changes in production schedule, where we've got shortages of raw material, etc. So as well as obviously changing the behaviour of the supervisor, we also need to look at the other situations that could be causing the problem.
Before we look at the Global Standard Food Safety Issue 9, Food Safety Culture Requirements, I would like to explain how ToLearn can improve your site's food safety culture. ToLearn is a food safety management platform that allows you to evaluate your company food safety culture. The principles and concepts of ToLearn food safety culture were developed through a research program led by Dr. Derek Watson of the University of Sunderland. Listen to the end of the podcast, where I will be explaining how you can find out more about ToLearn and access a free BRCGS one-day product safety course. John, it would be useful if you could go through the main requirements for food safety culture in the BRCGS Global Standard Food Safety Issue 9, please.
Right, Roy, let's get down to the nitty-gritty and look at the specific requirements of the BRC Standard Issue 9. To start off with, you probably need to go to the very beginning. So you need to look at senior management commitment and continual improvement. And as part of the statement of intent, BRCGS have now added that companies have to have systems for the continual improvement of food safety culture. And there is also a requirement within the policy section, 1.12, which also requires companies to have systems in place for continual improvement of their food safety culture. But the main area that we need to look at is section 1.12, and this is where it details the requirement. And it starts off with saying that organisations need a food safety culture plan. And that food safety culture plan needs to clearly define the activities across the site that have an impact on food safety culture and the improvement of food safety culture. Now, one of the things that people, I'm sure, are aware of, that if an auditor, a BRCGS auditor, turns up at a site and you don't actually have a food safety culture plan, then they are required to raise a major non-conformity.
John, a major non-conformity, that sounds pretty serious. I'm sure a lot of people will know what that is, but for those who don't, can you just refresh our minds, please?
No problem, Roy. The BRCGS standard has three levels of non-conformity. The first one is critical, and that's where we've got a food safety issue or we have a breach in legislation. And if a company receives a critical, then they either have their certificate removed or don't receive a certificate. With regards to major, it's where we've got a major breakdown in the system or something that potentially could lead to a food safety issue. And then minor is where we've got a minor issue. Examples being a couple of documents not signed, people not wearing beard snoot. So that's basically an overview of the three different types of non-conformities. So if you've actually got a copy of the standard open in front of you and you're looking at 1.2.1, you'll see the bullet points. And the first one is communication. And what this is trying to get over is, how do we build in food safety communication on a daily basis? And what we mean by that is that if we're having a production meeting at the beginning of the shift, and that production meeting normally will cover the sort of the production schedule for the day and what needs to be done, then we need to also consider, how do we actually cover food safety within that meeting? And I would also say that, you know, the type of things that BRC are looking for is maybe that we look at the performance from the previous day. We identify good practice and bad practice with regards to food safety. And then if we look at the production schedule for the coming day, then are there any issues there that we need to make people aware of? So that is communication. But for me, one of the most powerful communication is where we have self-policing of a system. And what I mean by that is, if we've actually got a production line and some produce falls off the line, we've got a new employee who then picks it up and puts it back on the line, then the operatives that are stood with that person turns around and says, I'm sorry, but we don't do that. That's not allowed. And what we're doing is we're getting people within the system to self-police. We're communicating the sort of the values and the behaviours through our operatives. And we're not waiting for managers and supervisors to pick up on things that aren't being done correctly. And for me, that is a great form of communication and demonstrates a very positive food safety culture. We can then go on to training. And training, normally, when we do food safety training, we tend to tell people about the legal requirements. And then once we've told them about the legal requirements, we tell them that if they don't comply with the legal requirements, then they're going to be disciplined. Now, with regards to food safety culture, what BRC would like is that we look at that slightly different, and that the training we provide is training with regards to our values and our expected behaviours. And I think a really good example of this would be something like induction training. So we have a lot of companies in the UK that are employing people from all over the world. And when they come into your factory, it's important that what we do is we sit them down and we make them aware of what is acceptable. So what are our values and what are our accepted behaviours? And what we don't want to see is where we've got companies that don't really have a robust induction system. Those people are then passed on to other people, and then they tend to learn the bad habits from those people. So training should be about making people aware of behaviours as well as attitudes and values. And then the final thing with regards to training is making people aware of the moral implication of why we need to produce food that is fit for human consumption. The next area is behaviours. And as we've already said, all organisations need to understand the behaviours within their organisation so they can maintain and improve product safety culture. So we've already covered it on the podcast, so I don't intend to repeat what we've already done. The next one is an important one because it's all about performance measurement. And quite often when I'm training or asking people about performance measurement, the one thing that the people say is, oh, we need to have a look at customer complaints. And yes, I don't disagree. We need to have a look at things like micro results coming back. And yes, I don't disagree. But there are two areas that companies need to start to think about. And the first one is the results from internal audits. And the second one is the results from GMP audits or fabrication and hygiene inspections. And what we're looking for is trends. So as a simple example, if we carry out a fabrication and hygiene inspection, and every time we do it, we find that the bins in that area are overflowing, that would indicate that we've got a cultural issue. And therefore, if we're looking for things to improve, then that may be one of the areas. So I would suggest that everybody or all organisations need to be looking at the results of internal audits or GMP inspections to identify trends that could be an indication of a cultural issue. We have already mentioned the fact that all organisations and sites need to have a food safety culture plan. And within that culture plan, we also need action plans. So those action plans need to clearly identify what behaviours we're going to be changing, who's responsible, and timescales. And as you would expect, then also, when are we actually going to review them? So again, making sure that we review our food safety culture, and there is a requirement, as a minimum, we need to be reviewing it annually. So that basically covers the sort of the bullet points within the standard. However, there is one other major issue or requirement, not issue, requirement. And what that is that when you get a BRCGS audit, the auditor is required to now spend some time with senior management. And I'm going to define senior management as chief executive, MD, production director, operations director, HR director. What it shouldn't be is a technical director. And the auditor should sit down with that senior manager and go through their food safety culture plan. What have they done in the previous year? And what have they got planned going forward? Now, earlier in the podcast, we said that if an organisation hasn't got a food safety culture plan, they get a major non-conformity. If, for argument's sake, the auditor identifies weaknesses within the plan, then what they will do is they will raise minor non-conformity. And that basically brings it to an end. So those are the sort of the main requirements. And some people say very similar to issue 8, but believe you me, with the emphasis on behaviour, it goes much further than issue 8.
Thanks, John. That, honestly, that sounded pretty concise there, and hopefully the people listening would agree with me there. I've got one more question, if you don't mind. What are the indicators, then, that a company has a positive food safety culture?
For me, Roy, the indicators of a positive food safety culture within an organisation start off with the company have clearly defined their values and the behaviours associated with those values. And then following on from that, I would expect to see that those values and behaviours have been clearly trained out to all employees so people are aware of them. We've already mentioned the next one in the podcast, which is self-policing. So where we've actually got people within the organisation, employees, who are making other employees aware of when they're doing something that is unacceptable with regards to food safety. I also believe that there should be some clearly defined feedback mechanisms and that people are encouraged to use them. Now, within the standard, we've obviously got a clause in there that requires that there should be a confidentiality system where people can report incidences. And we also have the requirement that there needs to be systems in place for employees to be able to report out of specification. But I think having an open door policy is very positive. And the other one for me, and I know this might sound a bit odd, but when we do the training, quite often we do the BRC training, we do HACCP training, and we do food safety. And when we're doing HACCP training and BRC training, it is quite worrying how many people we actually have on the course that aren't familiar with the actual hazards within their own processes. So you could have something like a chicken processor, and basically the plant is actually cooking chickens, and you've actually got technical and quality people on the course, and they don't understand what a kill step is, and they don't understand what a 6-log reduction is. And it is quite worrying when you have people in those positions that don't understand the specific hazards associated with their process. So I would say a really good understanding of the hazards within the actual process. Now, I'm sure there's a lot more, but those would be my main areas. And my final comment is this: you are never too busy for food safety. Thank you.
John, thank you. That's a great introduction to food safety culture and BRCGS Issue 9 requirements for food safety culture. I'm also told that you're willing to come back on the podcast and cover how to implement a food safety culture program. So listeners, if you are interested in how to implement a food safety improvement program, then please join us on our next podcast when we take a deep dive into implementing a food safety culture program.